So we're holding on page Chof Ches of Chagiga, the last few words of the page, still the middle of Oisfes. We were in the middle of learning about, the Shlokish had said there are seven levels of heaven, and we were going through them, named by each one, their name, and what its purpose is, and where we see in a pasuk that name. So the last one we mention, the last one we mention is that by day, we Jewish people sing to Hashem with tefillah, and therefore the Malachim don't, so as not to drown us out. And then by night, instead, they sing. And we quote in that connection, the pasuk, Yoyme mitzava Hashem chesed. By day, Hashem commands his chesed, meaning Rashi had said, Hashem commands the Malachim to be quiet by day as a chesed for us Jewish people, so that our voices are not drowned out by them, over Laila. And then at night, Shiroi, his song, the song of the Malachim, that's to Hashem, Imi is with me, tefillah lekel chaya, a tefillah to Hashem who gives me life. So having quoted that pasuk, the Gemara brings another Jirosh on it as well. And then after that, after a couple of Jiroshes about learning Torah, then we'll get back to the list of the seven levels of heaven. So Amar Shlokish Kala Oisik Batorah Balaila, a person occupies himself with studying Torah at night. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Kala Putsho Chesed Bayoyim, Hashem draws over him a thread of kindness by day, meaning that people look at him, that people look at him favorably because of Hashem causes people to look favorably in him. Shenema, the same pasuk, Yoyim Mitzad Hashem Chesed, by day Hashem commands his chesed, that there should be a special chesed and a special chain on such a person. My time, Yoyim Mitzad Hashem Chesed, why is that? Mishum de Balayla Shira Imi, because this is a person who by night had his song of Torah with me, so therefore Hashem gives him that chesed by day. Marsha explains in Avodah's Gemara, is also in Avodah Zarah, Marsha explains over there, usually a person stays up all night or a good part of the night, then the next day he looks tired, he's got bags under his eyes, he's irritable and so forth, but Hashem makes it that specially that he's not, that Adrabba people see him as graceful and good in the course of his learning Torah. Ikadamri, another version of the Darasha, goes differently. The contrast is not between the night and day that we have every 24 hours, but rather the night and day of history, of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Ikadamri, Amar Shlokish, Kala Osik Batorah Ba'olam Hazeh, Shadom Lalaila, a person who occupies himself with studying Torah in this world, which is compared to night, because it's dark and we don't have a Gilui Elokus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Chol HaPut Shal Chesed Olam Haba, Shadom LaYom, and in Olam Haba, which is like day, because then we have a clear vision of Elokus, then, so that's like day, and then Hashem puts a thread of kindness and grace on him, and makes it again, in other words, that he's looked at much more kindly and favorably because of that. So either the Yoyim and the Laila, respectively, mean that within every 24 hours, when the day and night, or it means in within a person's lifetime and afterlife, or of the world in general. And the Gemara continues in this vein, talking about the importance of learning Torah. Omer of Levi, call a posik b'divrei Torah. A person interrupts his learning of Torah, but osik b'divrei sicha, and he gets involved in talking, stam, casual conversation. Machiv and osik gachle resonim. He's going to be fed calls of roisim. Word roisim is often translated in English as broom tree. It's a kind of tree that grows in the desert. It's mentioned in Tanakh. It mentions, for example, that at one point Eliyahu HaNavi was resting under one when he was running away from Ahab and Izebel. Anyway, it has the property that coals made from it can look cold and extinguished on the outside, and they're still hot on the inside. So elsewhere, the Gemara mentions it as a metaphor for Lashon Hara. Rashi mentions it on a pasuk in Parshas Maaseh in connection with one of the places where the Jewish people camped during the 40 years. It was called Risma, and that was the place where they sent the Meraglim from who spoke Lashon Hara. But anyway, so those calls, so now we're saying such calls are going to be fed to a person who interrupts his learning Torah in order to talk. Anaf Yosef points out the midah keneged midah, and it is that that the Gachle Rasamim then was saying. So you have the you have open flames, then you have coals, and Gachle Rasamim are sort of halfway between that. You have, well, let's put it this way, you have, in other words, so you have open flame, then you have the complete opposite of that, which things that only have the potential of fire in them but not the actuality. For example, flintstones, where you strike them together and you'll get a spark, but you don't see any fire in them. And Gachle Rasamim are sort of the middle thing between that. So the same way, Torah is the here he's starting to fan the flame of Torah, and then in the middle, so he left it incomplete, so therefore he gets Gachle Rasamim. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, HaKotvim Maluach Alei Siach V'Shodesh Rasamim Lachman. The simple meaning of the Pasuk is Eov is describing low down people, the kind of people that nobody wants in normal society, where therefore, like, they have to, they're kicked out of the cities, and they live in the middle, and they live out in the forests and the fields, and what do they eat? He describes HaKotvim Maluach Alei Siach, they pick or they scrape Maluach, which is a kind of moss, Alei Siach, that grows on the bushes, V'Shodesh Rasamim Lachman, and they eat roots of Roisem. In other words, like, they don't even eat normal human food because nobody wants them in human society. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. Here the Gemara is darshining it like this, HaKotvim, that they pick, in other words, that they interrupt, Maluach, the Torah that was given on the Luchos, Alei Siach, in order to talk, Siach, Malosh and Sicha, then V'Shodesh Rasamim Lachman, the result is their food is going to be roots of Roisem, and in this case, we're talking about coals that are made from those roots. So there's the importance, in other words, of not only does a Talmid Chacham have to learn Torah, and when he does, and Hashem gives him special chesed, but he can't even... And even Yaakov adds, we know Sichas Talmud Chachamim, Sichim Talmud, that even the casual speech of Talmud Chachamim has to be learned, and you can learn things from it. Nevertheless, they shouldn't be interrupting in the middle of actual learning Torah for Sicha, and if they do, then that's what Rav Levi is saying. Okay, so we had said that this was all a digression from, we were talking about the level of Shemayim that was called Mo'im, where we said that that's where the groups of Malachim who sing to Hashem are. Omenolam de'ikri Shemayim, where do we see that Mo'im is the name of a level of Shemayim? Shenem ha'shkifim im oin kodshacham in Hashemayim. As we see, we ask Hashem, look down from your holy Mo'im, from your holy dwelling, from Shemayim. In fact, Marashal says, the Pasuk continues, Avorech Asam for Yisrael, meaning bless us Jewish people through the Malachim. We find that Yaakov was benched by a Malach. We find that Yaakov himself later on says to Yosef and Menashe and Ephraim, a Malach of Goyalosi. So therefore, so the level of Shemayim where the Malachim reside, which is Moin, is where we're asking Hashem to give us brachas through by means of those Malachim. Next, now we come to the sixth level of Shemayim called Mochin. And Mochin, Rashi explains, is a word that means like a storehouse or an arsenal where there's all kinds of punishments available. There are all kinds of tools of punishment. We find the word Mochin is from the same Shodosh as Nochin, and we find that used, Rashi says, of punishments of the Rishoyim. You have a Pasuk in Mishlei, Nochinu laleitzim shvatim, Hashem has ready and prepared for leitzim, for scoffers, has prepared shvatim, various kinds of punishments. So therefore, the level of Shemayim, where those things are located, that Hashem dispenses out for those things, is called Mochin, from the same Shodosh as Nochin. So Shaboy Oitzris Shaleg, in there are storehouses of snow, but Oitzris Borod, and storehouses of hail. Rashi explains that all these things are for punishment, that you always have these. Sometimes you have that Hashem sends an unusually heavy snowstorm that damages people's houses and what have you, or a hailstorm that does the same thing, like that Makas Borod, and those are stored over there. On the other hand, Tosfa says that it's not necessarily always. There is snow that comes for good as well. Back in Tainus, for example, we learned that one snowfall is as good for the land as five rainfalls. So when we say over here, Oitzris Sheleg, we don't mean necessarily that the ones in Mochin are all being used for punishment. Some of them may be used for positive purposes as well. So again, you have the snow, the hail, valias tlolim roim, and then you have when there's bad dew, as we learned in Tainus, you have generally dew is a bracha, but nevertheless there can be dew which has harmful effects. For example, the plant, for example, you have crops that are supposed to be drying in the field, and they get wet with the dew, and they end up rotting. Valias eglin, agolin, or eglin. And also you have whether that they come up from there eglin. So Rashi says that it means like basins of water. It means basins or droplets of water that are used for punishment. For example, again, Rashi says it causes the crops to get ruined. The chedra shall suffer v'sa'ara, you also have in that level of Shemayim is a room in which Hashem keeps storm winds and hurricanes, u'ma'ara shall kiter, and a cave where Hashem keeps smoke. So all of these things Hashem uses to punish the Rishayim, each in its appropriate time. Marsha says, you actually have Psukim and Eod that mention that, Hashem at one point, during the whole thing when Eod and his friends have been trying to figure out why Eod is going through what he went through. So finally Hashem appears to Eod and starts telling him, do you b'chol understand how I run the world that you think you should know it all? And at one point, Hashem mentions to him this kind of thing. Have you come to the storehouses of snow and of hail and so forth? And Miholit Eglaitol. And Hashem mentions all the various things that are mentioned in the Gemara. So all of them, Hashem is saying, I have them reserved to punish Rishoyim when necessary, and you have no idea about that. All of these storehouses that Hashem has, they're in Machon, the doors to those storehouses are made of fire, which in fact, Marsha adds, that fire itself is sometimes used as a punishment for Rishoyim. In fact, there are other Gemaras where Marsha points out that fire is like the ultimate destructive thing. Among all the various destructive forces that Hashem created in the world, fire is the most destructive, and it leaves like very, very little, if anything, behind, more so than the other. So therefore, that's the metaphor over here of describing that the doors of them are made out of fire, which again Hashem uses on the Rishoyim when necessary. Shenema, and we know that Hashem has an arsenal and a storehouse of punishments like that. Shenema, you have a pasuk Hashem Eitzorei, talking about the downfall of Babel. Hashem has opened up his storehouse by Yotzes Kleizama, and he took out his tools of anger. So we see that Hashem has like a storehouse or an armory full of or an arsenal, whatever you want to call it in English, full of weapons of punishment that he uses against the Rishayim, like Babel. And we have another pasuk, Yiftach Hashem L'cha, said, Tzorei Atoiv, Hashem will open up for you his good storehouse. Well, if we're saying the good storehouse implies that there's also a bad storehouse, and that's the one where all these things are kept. The printed Gemaras have only the second pasuk. The Ein Yaakov, the original editions of Ein Yaakov have the first pasuk from Yirmiyah, and a number of Mephoshim say that's really supposed to be the correct one, because you can learn from it more directly. What do you need to learn indirectly from Tzorei Atoiv when you can learn more directly from the pasuk in Yirmiyah? Okay. Anyway, the Gemara asks, Bahani Berakia Isnu, you're telling me all these things that we just listed are found in the heavens in the sixth heaven. Hani Ba'ara Isnu. These things are found on earth, or some of them at least are found on earth. In Tillim, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hashem min ha'aretz, praise Hashem from the earth. Taninim, the sea monsters, the Leviathan and all of their ilk, b'chol tahomas and all the depths, Eish uvarad, fire and hail, all of you should be praising Hashem. Sheleg v'kiter, snow and smoke. Ruach Sa'ara and the storm wind, Oseh Dvarei, which does what Hashem says to do. So all of these things, we're saying this is all Mina Oretz. So all of these things are on Oretz. Now, the Rambam actually in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah says that's not what the pasuk means anyway. He says it means when he says the Sheleg and Kitter and so on, Eish and Varad and so forth, he says they don't have any ability to praise Hashem, they don't have any intelligence or anything. It means when we see Hashem's actions with them, then we praise Hashem. So according to him, the question in the Gemara wouldn't really begin. Certainly we see Eish and Barad and so on and so forth on earth. But the Gemara, which seems to be taking it in the more literal sense that these things actually praise Hashem from the earth, well, based on what we just said, they should be praising Hashem from the heaven in Machon, where they're located. And the answer is Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Adshalei Bar David Hoyu Barakia. You're right, they were originally in the heaven, in Moch, before David came along. Uchshabad David bikesh aleim rachnim, but when David came along, he asked for rachnim from Hashem, v'haridam la'aretz, and he had all these things moved down and brought down to earth. Therefore, now in Tillim, he's able to say, hallelujah Hashem min ha'aretz, and list all these things. Why did he not want them in Shemayim? Omar Lefanim says, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, as the Pasuk says in Tillim, ki loy keil chofetz resha otar, you Hashem do not, you Hashem are kind, keil is the name of chesed, you don't desire wickedness, loy gur chara, evil does not dwell with you. Which means, the Pasuk means to say, tzadik ata Hashem, you Hashem being the ultimate tzadik, loy yogur ben gur chara, there should not be in your dwelling place anywhere near you, there shouldn't be anything evil. So therefore, all these things that are used for purposes of punishing the Rishoyim, to bring evil to the world, when necessary, David is saying, fine, that kind of thing is necessary, but they don't have to be like in your dwelling place, so to speak, so close to where you are. Ion Yaakov talks about a couple of reasons why David particularly is concerned about that. One thing is because in David HaMelech's times, unfortunately, there were many Baalei Lashon Hara. The Medrash says that even though they were keeping Torah and Mitzvahs very carefully and very punctiliously, and basically they were all tzaddikim, but because of the Lashon Hara, many people were being killed in war, and because of that, therefore also the Shekhinah couldn't remain on earth. So therefore David is saying, Mela, until now the Shekhinah was able to be on earth, ever since Matan Torah, Ikut Shekhinah B'tachtonim, to begin with, Ikut Shekhinah B'tachtonim, and eventually Moshe Rabbeinu brought it back down to earth by Matan Torah, but now if it's going to have to withdraw up to Shemayim, then how can you also have this all these things, the Otsvus Shelag and Otsvus Borod, which are meant for negative purposes, how could those be there together with you in the Shekhinah? So therefore they should be brought down to earth. Okay. Umanolon de Ikri Shemayim, how do we know then? Now Tosfos does point out the fact is these things do still descend from the clouds. So therefore, we can still talk about, in a general sense, that they come min hashamayim. We have, after all, a pasuk in Yeshaya, and Yeshaya lived a couple hundred years after David, where he says, ki kasha yerid ageshem ha-shelig min hashamayim. So they do come from shamayim, but in the sense just from the clouds. From our point of view, they come from somewhere up there, but not that they come from mochayim like it was originally. Also, Tosfos says, David is talking about the ones that are meant for punishment. Those should be down on earth, or at least in the atmosphere immediately above the earth, as opposed to the ones that are for good. After all, you have snow that's for good, like Tosfos had pointed out before. You have rain that's for good. All these other things sometimes are for good as well. So those, by all means, David had no problem with those staying in mochayim. Okay, umanolam de ikri shamayim. Where do we see that mochon is a name of shamayim? Shenem of ata tishma shamayim mochon shivtecha. Shlomo HaMelech asks in his tefillah that Hashem, you should listen from shamayim, the mochon of your dwelling. So therefore, and this is the context is Shlomo is talking about throughout that tefillah. He's talking about when various troubles and disasters happen to an individual yid or to a whole community of Jews or to the whole Jewish people collectively, that they should be able to come to the Bais Mikdash and daven to Hashem, and Hashem will accept their tefillahs. So therefore, now he's saying that what you'll hear from shamayim, from mochon, where all of these negative things are located, and you will hear, and instead you'll shower brachos on the Jewish. Okay, now we come to the seventh heaven, Aravos, which is so called. So we'll see later on where we see that Aravos is the name of it, is the name of a heaven. But first, Shabbat Tzedek Mishpat, at that level, the highest of the heavens, so like so to speak, closest to Hashem, you have over there is Tzedek and Mishpat. So Marshall points out the difference between them is Tzedek means that there's no injustice over there. And Mishpat, so remember actually what Maharsha explains is that Tzedek and Tzedakah are two things. Tzedek means no injustice. Tzedakah is when you're going lefnim mishras hadin and you're giving something to somebody where he doesn't deserve it. And Mishpat means justice. So Tzedek and Mishpat, as the Gemara is going to show soon, those are like the foundations of Hashem's throne. That means they're in Aravos, which is the highest of the heavens on which, so to speak, Hashem's throne sits. So tzedek and mishpat, or tzedakah, as well as tzedakah, and again, that's why we have the distinction between tzedek and tzedakah. Ginzei chayim, you also have over there the storehouses of life. Ginzei shalom, the storehouse of peace. Ginzei bracha, the storehouses of bracha. The nishmasim shal tzedikim, the neshamas of the tzedikim are also located there in Aravos. The ruchos and neshamas shasidus leibaris, and the ruchos and neshamas that are yet to be created, meaning, in other words, that have yet to come down to earth. This is the story where we have to talk about the neshamas are under the kisei hakavod. That's what we mean over here, that they're in Aravos. Rashi explains the difference between ruchos, what's the difference between ruchos and neshamas. First, Rashi says they're the same thing. Then he says that another way of looking at it is the ruach is the neshama whose structure matches that of the body. So you have the idea. In other words, a person has ramachei varim, the neshama also, so to speak, has ramachei varim, shasag yedim, and therefore, so that would be what we're calling over here ruach, and neshama would just be the person's ability to breathe. Neshama maloshim neshima, which is breath. Anyway, so those ruchos and neshamas, and then breath givers that are yet to be created, yet to be born on the world, all of those are in our robbers as well. The tal also that Kadosh Baruch Hu lahachis bayis amesim, and also over there is the dew with which Hashem will revive the mesim lasid lavi. Let's go through and show how we know that all these things are located as close as possible to Hashem, meaning in our robbers. So tzedekum mishpat tichtiv tzedekum mishpat machayin kisechos. The pasuk says that righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Now, since, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, the throne of Hashem is above our robbers, then that implies, therefore, that these things are the foundation of it, that they're located in our robbers. The word Arabis itself, by the way, you have later on, the Gemara is going to bring the pasuk, Solo Laroich of Arabis. We have a few other places in Tanakh where heavens are called Arabis. Different Mephoshim talk about what it means in the simple sense, that it means like the wide open areas or different things like that. There's places in Sidrus also where it draws a connection between those and the Arabis that we take on Sukkos. Anyway. So Tzedakah, we see that Tzedakah is also located there. The pasuk says Hashem put on Tzedakah like a coat of mail. We had recently in Tanya where the Alter Rebbe talks about the deeper meaning of the comparison between Tzedakah and a coat of mail, because the armor is made up of a bunch of tiny overlapping scales, in the same way called Prutah or Prutin, Tzedakah is the Cheshvan Gadol. Every penny of Tzedakah adds up to a large amount, and the Alter Rebbe explains over there what exactly Tzedakah accomplishes in terms of the Ora, the key coming down to our world and blocking it being misused for klippas, which is like armor blocking arrows, etc., etc. And the Alter Rebbe develops the whole explains the details of the metaphor. Anyway, the point is, since it's described as Hashem's armor, so to speak, then that means it must be as close as possible to Hashem, therefore it's in our office. Ginzei Shalom, the storehouses of peace, are there in our office. Dichtiv vayikra lo Hashem Shalom. The pasuk says he called it Hashem Shalom. Now the simple meaning of the pasuk is it's talking about when Gideon, after a Malach appeared to Gideon and then in Sefer Shoftim and tells him, you're the one who's going to lead the Jewish people in war and fight against Midian and defeat them and save the Jewish people. So Gideon builds a Mizbeach to thank Hashem, and he calls the Mizbeach Hashem Shalom, meaning, as Rashi explains in a few places, not that the Mizbeach is called Hashem, it means that the name of the Mizbeach is, whenever a person sees and mentions that Mizbeach, he will remember that Hashem is the one who brings us peace. But here the Gemara is darshaning the word differently. Vayikra loy Hashem. Hashem called to it. Namely, what did he call to? Shalom. Hashem called it to be with him. So therefore we see that Shalom is located in our office. Ginzei Chayim, we're saying the storehouses of life. Dichtiv ki imcha makor chayim. As the pasuk says, with you is the source of life. Marashah also adds, by the way, as far as Shalom, we know that one of the names of Hashem is Shalom. So therefore you have Shalom over there. Ginzei Chayim, dichtiv ki imcha makor chayim. With you, Hashem is the source of life. So that the wellspring of life. So therefore we see that the whole concept of life is in our office. Ginzei bracha, the storehouse of the bracha. Dichtiv yisa bracha meis Hashem. He, the tzaddik, the kichapayim of our leivav, etc., will bear a bracha from Hashem. So again, from Hashem implies that it's as close as possible to Hashem. In fact, Marashah says, the pasuk continues, Utsudoka Melekei Yishai, but it doesn't mention it. Havaya over there, which is why the Gemara didn't bring that as a proof. Next, when we say the neshamas of tzaddikim are in our robbers, Richtiv, a hoise nefesh adoni, tsur, the tsur, chaim, as a shaman, the kacha. Abigail says to David, the soul of my master, of you, David, will be bound up in the bond of life with Hashem, your God. So therefore, that means that the neshamas of the tzaddikim after 120 are in our robbers. Ruchos and neshamas shasidusli boris. Then we're saying you have the spirits and the neshamas that are yet to be born. Shenema, as the pasuk says, ki ruach milafona yatod. Hashem says, a spirit enwraps itself from before me. Means it comes from before me and gets enwrapped in a body. Or neshamas ani asisi, and the neshamas that I made. Yeah, that everyone brings that pasuk in Tanya to show that every yid has two neshamas. But that we see, in other words, the point is it's milafonai. It's before me. So again, in our robbers, as close as possible, so to speak, to Hashem. Marsha points out that the Gemara in Nida mentions and darshins something from this passage, and Marsha explains that the plural neshamos is because sometimes you have one person born, you have a neshama klalis who includes within many individual neshamas. For example, it says about Moshe Rabbeinu that he was equivalent to the whole 600,000 Jewish people. So therefore, so that's a key ruach milafanayate, Hashem says, a spirit enwraps itself from before me, or neshamos amiyosisi, and in that way, many neshamas are brought down to earth, and I make them, and I put them in bodies all at the same time. So those are not robbers again. The talsha also that Kodesh Baruch Hu lahachis vayis amesim, the dew with which Hashem is going to revive the mesim is also in our robbers. Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, geshem nedavis toni felikim. You, Hashem, will make a generous rain. You wave a generous rain, and it falls. And Rashi says this is talking about that capital, a good part of that capital, Samaches, is talking about Matan Torah. In fact, the Rosh Chodesh, where they have the minhag to say it on Shavuos. For that reason, we actually have it in Tikkun Leil Shavuos for that reason as well. And we know that when by Matan Torah, they who each one the divris and Yotza Nishmasa, and the Veshamas left them, and Hashem had to revive them with this dew. So we see. That's the dew we're talking about, and we're saying, and since earlier in that capital, a few psukim earlier, it calls Hashem Roichevah Rabbis, then we understand, therefore, that Geshem the Dovis, that generous rain of dew that Hashem brought on them then, and that Hashem is going to bring Osid Lavoi, is found in our Rabbis. Next, the Sham Oifanim Usrofim B'chayis HaKodesh, they are also in Arabis at a higher level Malachim. Before we said, yeah, the Malachim who say Shiva that are located a few levels further down in Ma'oin. Now we have two levels higher are the Malachim, the higher level Malachim, the Ifanim and Surachim and Chayis HaKodesh, or Malach HaShoris, and the Malachim who minister to Hashem. So in Chassidus, it talks about you have malachim, to put it in terms of the olamas. You have malachim that are in Yitzira, malachim that are in Bria, and then here we're talking about even higher than that, maybe even in olamat Sims. Anyway, the kisei akavod, and then you have the kisei akavod is there as well. Umelach keil chayv chayim rom nisa, the Hashem, the king, the living God who lives forever, who's exalted and high, dwells upon them, ba'arovos, in arovos. The word ba'arovos over here is in brackets, it is in the Gemara, but a number of mafoshim say it doesn't really belong, because Hashem is not in arovos, Hashem is higher than arovos. Hashem is roichet ba'arovos, as the Gemara is going to quote the pasuk. So, shenema, solola roichet ba'arovos, as the pasuk says, praise the one who rides on arovos. In other words, arovos is lower than Hashem, like the way an animal that a person rides on is lower than him. The Koshmai, with you, praise Hashem with his name Ka, with which he created Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, but Yud Niver Olam Haba, but Hey Niver Olam Hazeh. So that's our Robbis. So Menolam, the Ikri Shemayim, how do we know that our Robbis is a name for Shemayim? So Omer Ababa, who asks you Rechiva. We don't have directly where the Pasuk ever calls our Robbis a name of Shemayim. We do have where it uses the word our Robbis, but you could argue that it means something else. But we can make it Zeta Shavah. Moshe Rabbeinu describes Hashem as riding on the head. So therefore, we understand that Arovus is the highest level of the heaven, and Hashem rides above it. Hashem is beyond all the Nivroim, even the highest level Nivroim that we were talking about over here. Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ula, Beis Elul. So we call Mashiach Melech HaMashiach. So first of all, that means that the Geula is going to have a tremendous strength and power. No obstacles will even matter to him. Yeah, Chazal have the expression Omer Malka Okar Torah, a king can speak, and a mountain will be uprooted. Not even a mountain is going to stand in the way of a king's plans. And the expression Okar Torah, where a Torah, a mountain shows, means in other words, a very powerful opponent. And still he's uprooted and taken someplace else, which means in Ruchnius, so that's the idea of his hafkach, hashaycha nahara, that the mountain, the oppositional mountain, gets moved elsewhere and transformed into an owl. And even going even further, the whole life and the whole metzios of everybody in the country and everything that takes place in the country all depends on the king. That means there can't really be an opponent to the king in the first place, because even the opponent himself gets his chayas from the king, even if he doesn't realize it. So now we're saying that Mashiach is not going to care about, is not going to even be concerned about any such obstacles, because they're all just going to move away in his presence. Okay, halachas of Shabbos, continuing. Sometimes you have a person has, like, his ear is infected or otherwise has a discharge, and he puts a wad of cotton in it. So you're allowed to go out with such a wad on Shabbos as long as it's tied in place there so it won't fall out. Similarly, you can also put a wad of soft material inside a shoe as long as it's in such a way that it won't fall out. You have, for example, sometimes people have shoe inserts. People have sometimes these wedges that they put between their toes when they have ingrown toenails or other such things. So all those kinds of things, they're for the comfort of the body. So you're allowed to wear them on Shabbos. You only just have to make sure they don't fall off, and therefore they have to be tied in place. Same thing would apply as far as a sling and other similar kinds of things like that.